Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. It's a pleasure to say, joined by Daniel Horowitz, to my mind, one of the most impressive, relatively young thinkers, authors, commentators, pundits, and analysts of the circumstances in which we find ourselves at the moment. He is, of course, the author of a terrific must-read column at Conservative Review entitled The Conservative Consciousness with Daniel Horowitz. Daniel is also the author of a simply superb book, Stolen Sovereignty, How to Stop Unelected Judges from Transforming America. You can also find his podcasts and videos and the like at Conservative Review. It is a pleasure always to have him with us, especially on a day when he has been thinking impressively about a couple of issues near and dear to our heart, including North Korea and a backdoor amnesty. So, Daniel, it's good to have you back as always. Welcome.
Great to be with you, Frank, in this busiest August in politics ever.
Well, it's my experience that Augusts typically are times when mischief is made, particularly by foreign adversaries of the United States, which brings us, of course, directly to North Korea. You've written a piece at Conservative Review under the headline, Stop Paying Ransom, How to Turn the Tables on North Korea. And it's an important piece in a number of respects, but I'd like you in particular to address how essential it is, as you see it, that we focus properly on the threat emanating from North Korea and not get distracted by some other challenges elsewhere around the world.
Sure. I think part of the problem is many Americans are war weary because we've spent clearly two decades in the Middle East with many, many engagements. And there's really not a lot to show for it other than almost every theater deteriorating. That's why I think many Americans until now have really tuned out some of the existential threats to our country. Clearly, in those theaters, there's no threat directly to America in terms of a conventional military threat. There's no Navy, Air Force, or ICBMs that could hit us. Now we know in North Korea, they have ICBMs with miniaturized nuclear warheads that could likely hit the American mainland, certainly our assets in the Pacific. This was a direct threat. And that's why it is so important that Donald Trump jumped on this right away. You know, I've been a critic of some of his rhetoric in the past, pointing out that a lot of times his rhetoric doesn't really match his actions. But in this case, when it comes to North Korea, the first step to dealing with the problem is changing the posture. And I think that was really important to demonstrate to them that, no, we are done with the era of appeasement and paying your ransom, paying you off for leaving us alone. Actually, now we're going to put all options on the table.
It is important, it seems to me. We talked a little bit about this with Seth Cropsey earlier in the program, that we be putting assets in place if we are serious about this, if we want the North Koreans, and for that matter, the Chinese, to take us as a credible threat, not simply making more empty rhetorical challenges to the North Korean regime, to be putting in place, as I say, particularly naval assets capable of dealing with their missiles and other capabilities. As you look at it, is the president getting this right with respect to steering clear of some of these Islamic civil wars? I know that H.R. McMaster is pushing very hard for him to put ground forces in Afghanistan and in Syria, perhaps Iraq. How do you see it?
Sure. I mean, as you know, Frank, I mean, I've been a long advocate for dialing down not our engagement and our vigilance in the Middle East, but just these heavy-handed occupations that are so costly. And North Korea really brings this out, because part of why China, North Korea, have been able to become so aggressive over the past decade or so is because they know we're so bogged down in the Middle East, and they know that, you know, A, we don't have the military capacity to deal with so many fronts, and also we don't have the political resolve to deal with it anymore because, again, we're so war-weary from these wasted engagements. And I think Trump is absolutely right, and now is the time to – it's a very pivotal moment because they're deciding what to do with Afghanistan, what to do with Syria. And I think he needs to weigh the need to have a very clear, robust deterrent against North Korea versus what are we going to gain out of getting involved in these five-way civil wars. And I think, you know, anyone who suggests that we send an extra 30,000 troops to Afghanistan and Syria, they need to answer, how does that help our deterrent against North Korea, which, unlike those very impoverished countries, there is no threat directly from those countries. Now, to be clear, jihad is the consummate threat of our time. But again, that's a Muslim Brotherhood problem. That's a subversion problem. That's an immigration problem, counterterrorism, intel. Certainly, we have to be very engaged. But in terms of the very heavy-handed military presence, I don't think it speaks to that challenge. And I think we need to preserve that for North Korea and Iran, which are the real threats.
I tend to agree with you, Daniel Horowitz. Let me ask you about another topic you've turned your attention to, including notably in your book, Stolen Sovereignty, and that is this question of immigration. I spoke yesterday with our mutual friend, Mark Krikorian, about the piece that you wrote about a backdoor amnesty that no one is talking about. Would you give us a read-in on what you're concerned about in connection with an action rhetoric disconnect with the Trump presidency in this domain as well?
Sure. So one of the biggest things that's quite obvious, but I guess it's not so obvious to many of Trump's supporters, is that he continued Obama's unconstitutional amnesty. I mean, this is the most unconstitutional thing you can imagine, to have a president unilaterally nullify our sovereignty, disregard immigration statutes, and just create an affirmative positive benefits for illegal immigrants, right? To give them work permits, social security cards. What's important to remember is that the year 2017 is a renewal year for this DACA program. It started in 2013. It gets renewed every 2 years. So Trump could have ended this, and he has a constitutional responsibility to end it, by a mere inaction. You just don't renew them, and it goes away. You don't even have to actively take away the status. And yet he's renewed hundreds of thousands of them, pretty much at the same pace Obama was doing in 2016. That's number one. Number two is there's a lot of other backdoor half amnesty programs that a lot of people are unaware of. It's widely known we've brought in about 1 million immigrants, record numbers every year since the 90s. But those are just green cards. There's a number of other people that come here illegally, half illegally, meaning they'll come through our border, but they'll assert asylum, that they have a credible fear, which is a whole scam in itself. And, pursuant to law, they should be placed in detention until their adjudication. And unless they're found to be here illegally or have a legal right to remain, they should be deported. Instead, what Obama did is he started granting them work permits. Wouldn't grant them green cards, but granted them work permits. And there's also a lot of other just visa categories that Obama created out of whole cloth. It just totally started giving them work permits. And again, these are things, Trump complains about a lot of impediments to his presidency, the Senate Republicans and the filibuster and, the other branches of government. Well, this is something he could just unilaterally shut off. Obama unilaterally created it, just stop continuing it. And all the data I show from USCIS seems to indicate that all of these programs are continuing, and this is just such an unforced error, of continuing Obama's policies he promised to get rid of.
And what you've documented in this very important piece at Conservative Review is that the effect on illegal aliens believing that they can come to this country and benefit from doing so now seems to be turning the trend around from what initially had been taking place as a result of a concern on the part of many of them that life was going to get very tough for them under President Trump. This is an incredibly important point, and I know we'll need to come back to you to talk about it a bit further, hopefully in the very near future, Daniel Horowitz. But I think that trend and what it portends for us here in the United States is extraordinarily important. And an amnesty guised as a renewal, effectively, of DACA is deeply problematic, as you say. Thanks so much, Daniel, for joining us. As for all your work, I commend it to you all at Conservative Review, and most especially his book, Stolen Sovereignty, How to Stop Unelected Judges from Transforming America. Next up, we'll talk with Kevin Freeman about trade war with China. Turns out we're already in one. That and more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.